Do you have a divided household? And not talking politics here, talking about vegetarian versus meat eater. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guest today is Damaris Phillips. She is a chef and the host of Bobby and Damaris show on the Food Network. Her new book is called Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy, Down Home Classics for Vegetarians and the Meat Eaters Who Love Them. Do you have questions about converting your favorite dishes to meat-free, or maybe you've got some experiences to share in trying to deal with that at the dinner table? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, or you can also post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Damaris Phillips, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, you're a daughter of the South, where, to say the least, meat is pretty popular. I'm a meat eater, by the way. You fell in love with a vegetarian, on the other hand. It was interesting to read in the opening of your book about what those first few dates were like. Can you describe them?
Yeah, so when I met Derek at a wedding, and it was a carnival-themed wedding, and there were everyone was in costumes, and there were fire breathers and palm readers, and it was really just one of those magical moments when I met him, and it was going beautifully. And I met this tall and very charming man, and we're dancing, and we're talking, and he asked me what I do, and I say, I'm a chef. And he says, oh, that's so great. Like, I cook all the time at home. I'm a vegetarian. And in that moment, I really felt like somebody sucker punched me. It just was like, oh no. And literally in my head, I was like, this is what I said. I was like, oh dang. And it was because it was going so well. And I told him that. I was like, oh, well, this isn't going to work.
Oh.
I just couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine that I would, how do you figure out how to take fried chicken and meatloaf and how do you crab cakes? Like, the rest of your life, we're not going to have those at our house? Like, come on.
Oh, no. And you describe him as an ethical vegetarian.
What is?
Explain that.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to do any harm. So in our house, we don't kill any bugs. He doesn't kill mosquitoes. We just got back from India. And watching him brush away mosquitoes instead of, like, you know, what I do, which is, like, smack at them. It's really, like, it's humbling to watch somebody really, he just doesn't want to harm anything. So no leather, no animal products where animals are harmed. And he's just, you know, at first I was like, oh, this is so annoying. But really, truthfully, he's just that kind. And so it's allowed me to be a little bit more open and to examine and be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more thoughtful about the food choices that I make.
Yeah. And how are you eventually able to bridge this gap?
Yeah, it was interesting. So it started out eating a lot of international food. So international food is fantastic for this, like, meat-eating divide, because if you go to Ethiopian food or Indian food or Thai food, there's plenty of options for both meat eaters and vegetarians. And truthfully, like, if you're at Indian and you get chana saag, it's so delicious you don't care. And so, you're just like, oh, this is delicious. It has, like, chickpeas. It has protein. It has a ton of flavor. It's, like, nice and rich. And you don't miss the meat. And so that starting to eat in that way started to change my thoughts about what makes me feel satisfied when I'm eating a meal.
Yeah.
And then luckily this world has come up with a lot of meat substitutes that are fantastic. And the first one I did was chili. I use some grinders now at every grocery store you can find, either soy or wheat gluten, and they're just like ground beef. Literally, you put a little bit of oil in there. It tastes nice and meaty. And so I used them to make chili. And at the end of that meal, I remember thinking, like, oh, we can do this. I just didn't know how to. Like, I just didn't, in culinary school, I didn't learn how to make the vegetarian food. I didn't work in restaurants where they made a lot of vegetarian food. And so really, it was like a lot of, like, just guessing and trying to figure it out. But after seeing that there could be proteins, like plant-based proteins, reproduce, it was just, I got a little bug and decided, like, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
You mentioned oil, and I do. I know one of the tips that you write about is you need to go a little heavier, perhaps, on the oil when you're in those kinds of situations.
So when you think of ground beef and people are like, oh, I'm making my burgers, I use 80-20. 80-20 is 80% meat and 20% fat. So yeah. When you think about vegetarian cooking, part of what is missing so often from vegetarian cooking is that fat, because you get a meat source that doesn't have fat in it by nature. Like the plant-based proteins don't usually have fat. So you need to add in some of that fat. And if you're not a vegan, butter is a fantastic source for that. Like throwing in, I mean, it literally really gives you, it really gives you that satisfied, like fatty, soul-hugging feeling that you're used to from having ground beef or pork. But you can also use anything. Coconut oil is fantastic. Vegetable oil works amazingly. All the nut oils are, I mean, it's a whole new world out there when you look at oil.
Yeah.
I could talk on that for all day.
But butter. I'm telling
butter
you,
is.
Some of the contests on the Food Network, I notice people will, those who are cooking will often throw in butter.
At the very end.
At the very end.
At the very end. They're like, how do I want to win? Throw in a pat of butter. There's just something silky about it, you know? But there are tons of other fats that do that same kind of like satiny, silky finish that you just have to think about that. Nobody would be all excited about chicken if everyone was steaming it. They're like, just steam some chicken, very, very little salt, a little bit of pepper. Nobody would be into that. We get into chicken because people are like, slather it in butter and roast it at 400 degrees, you know, with all kinds of herbs. Or they're like, marinate it in buttermilk, dredge it in corn flour and flour, and then fry it. Like, of course. Come on, of course.
Of course it's going to taste good.
Of
oh, man.
It tastes, you know, like, of course we want that over. What you see is like traditional vegetarian food, which, bless our hearts, all of us, like, you know, the majority of us just don't know what to do with it. So we're like, oh, what about the mushrooms? What about some eggplant? And it just, like, for me, the biggest bum out was when we would go to a family dinner and nobody would know what to make for Derek. And so you would look over and he'd have this sad little vegetable plate. Or there'd be a salad. As though, like, because he doesn't want to harm anything, he also doesn't want to be full. You know, so it was real interesting. It's been fun to help everybody in my family, but then it helped all the people that are around us start to really think about, like, what's important about the food and how do we make food that literally everyone sitting around the table is pumped about. And that's what the book's about. It's just about taking those recipes that I grew up with and transforming them into something that nobody is asking the question of, like, does this have meat or not? Everybody's just saying, can I have some more?
And you also, though, have many recipes that involve meat.
Oh, absolutely. So here's the thing. I am not a vegetarian, and it is not, I have no desire to talk people into or talk people out of being vegetarian or meat eating. I just wanted to create a resource for people. So what I did was every single recipe that are like those recipes that are nearest and dearest to my heart because they're the ones we had growing up, I took 25 of those entrees and I put them in the book traditional, like the way that we made them growing up. So the way that my dad made burgers, my Uncle Paul's crab cakes. So they're all in the book. But also in the book are those exact same recipes turned into vegetarian recipes. So that we're still getting those stories, so that I'm still able to tell Derek about when I learned to make meatloaf or how every time I have spaghetti and meatballs, it makes me think of my brother Isaiah. All those are in there, but then also there's meat recipes in there too. So no matter where you are, whatever type of food you like to eat, it's in one cookbook. We don't have to have two cookbooks any longer. It doesn't have to be like, this is a vegetarian cookbook, this is a meat cookbook. You know, this is just a cookbook, and and you make a decision at every single meal how you want to eat. Sometimes that's going to be without meat because you have a guest coming over who's a vegan, or, you know, sometimes you have a friend who has celiac disease, and so you can't have gluten, or you, that is just a decision every day. You know, like, it doesn't have to be black and white anymore. We're in this wonderful world of being able to eat delicious food and make really fun and exciting choices around that food.
Yeah. There is a hilarious, I think it's an ad, that shows mm-hmm. the guy at the dinner table about to carve the turkey. Mm-hmm. And then each person around the table, all 10 of them or so, have a different issue. One doesn't eat meat. Oh. One is, and it's, I think it's an ad for a liquor.
Probably.
Because the guy's ready for a drink. But there's
yeah,
no. So it can be very complicated.
Yeah, it can. I mean, it's the larger your circle of friends expands, you know, like the more people you have at your party, the more options and chances there are for people to have dietary restrictions or different diets. And I hear people sometimes saying, like, oh, well, they could just eat whatever. But I think about my grandmother, and I think about how she would bend over backwards to make every single person feel welcome and taken care of around her table. And that's what my goal is.
Yeah.
My goal is to have delicious food and thoughtful food for every single person around the table. And sometimes that just means being a little bit more thoughtful. And it definitely doesn't mean that you make a different item for every single person. Because I tried that for a while, and that just does not work.
Does.
I mean, it doesn't. You know, like, I can't do it. I can't make two meals. I just can't. I can't make four meals. So if I have somebody who's soy-free, somebody else who is vegan, somebody else who's nut-free, and then a meat eater, like, we've got to take out all the things that other people have, you know, allergies to or ethical reasons for not eating. And we've just got to find one food that satisfies us all. And it can work. And it does work.
Well,
it's in the book.
It's a beautiful book. And you know what I like? I like the little stories that you have about each recipe.
Oh,
at the head, those are so much fun to read.
Oh, I really wanted, I was hoping that even if people aren't, if sometimes people collect cookbooks and they just like to collect them, but maybe they're not going to cook from them. I wanted to give them something else. So I wanted to give them stories and a way to get to know me better. And I am just in love with food. I just am. Like, it is, it moves me. And so I wanted to be able to share the reason why. And why it is the cornerstone of my life, and how joyous it can be. Even stuff like cornbread and milk, like all those stories. That's what I think of every single time I have these recipes, and that was why it was so important to make them, so I could share them with Derek. But I also want to share them with everybody else mm-hmm. who's been so loving and supportive of me, and you know, I want to give them a little something extra.
Damaris Phillips, our guest today. She is the author. Her new book is called Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy, Down Home Classics for Vegetarians and the Meat Eaters Who Love Them. Great to have her along today. You may have a question or a comment. I hope you'll join in. Maybe an experience to share. Maybe you have a question about converting some meat recipes to vegetarian, maybe just a question about what Damaris does with her own cooking at home with her husband, who is a vegetarian. She's a meat eater. How does she handle that? Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller. Louisa DeVogel, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, visiting today with Damaris Phillips. She is the host of a Bobby and Damaris show on the Food Network, and her latest book is called Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy, Down Home Classics for Vegetarians and the Meat Eaters Who Love Them. Questions, comments, experience to share, give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly loved to hear from you. So when you're cooking at home for your husband,
yes,
you typically don't make two dinners.
No, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock you now. We keep a vegetarian home. Dun, dun, dun. How could that be? Really? Honestly, like at first it was like we would keep like, it was about 75% vegetarian. Sometimes I'll still, like if he's out of town and I'm really craving like a club sandwich, I'll make myself a club sandwich. But the truth is the further I get into this world, the more I don't miss the meat. It's just the truth of it. And so if it means making one meal versus making two meals, of course I'm going to make one meal at home and that meal is going to be vegetarian. And so it's not a problem. Like if you had told me when I met him that would be where I was, I would have literally been like, no way. There's absolutely no way I can't have a BLT. Like, yeah. There's no way I can't have, if it's Sunday, I'm going to want fried chicken. Yeah. So I literally just created those recipes in vegetarian form and they're delicious. I hope you can hear the smile in my voice.
Oh, I can hear it.
It's not, there's no part of me that feels like, oh man, I'm really doing something good for my husband. Like, look at the sacrifice I'm making. I'm just making delicious food and it looks a little different than it used to look. You know, instead of going to the meat counter now, I go to the vegetarian meat counter, which is pretty cute. And in cities, you'll see it growing more and more. Like, there's Beyond Meat burgers now that are, you know, all the rage. There's also, like, just every freezer full of many, many meat substitutes that I don't think taste that much different, especially, again, when we add in some of that oil. It's not a problem.
Well, let's take some calls. Lots of people to visit with you. Samantha in Whitehall has a comment or question. Let's go there. Hi, Samantha.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, I have a friend who is a meat eater, her son is, and the ex-girlfriend is a vegetarian. He has two kids with her, but, you know, it's like they get meat at one place and vegetables at another, you know, at the other parent's house. How do you, you know, like, keep it so they get the proteins they're supposed to get? You know what I mean? How do you make it?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, so there's a ton. That's one of the biggest things that was a challenge, was making sure that we have a balanced diet. And there's a ton of ways to get plant-based protein now. And it looks like either legumes, nuts, seeds are all great sources. But then also you can do wheat gluten is the protein from wheat. And that has an enormous amount of protein in it. It also replicates the texture of meat very, very well. So when you buy the fake chicken at the grocery store or the fake but you know, it's the replacement for the vegetarian protein. All of those have a ton of protein in them, but you do have to make sure that you're conscious of that. You know, cheese also has protein in it. It's one of those things where as your kids are going to age, they're going to get to make that decision for themselves. But it is important to make sure that while they're growing, they are having enough of that protein.
Yeah, for sure.
There's tons of ways to do it. Yeah, it has helped tremendously with the amount of ready-made plant-based proteins at any grocery store.
And you have a little section in the front of the book or toward the front of the book that talks about where you get the proteins.
Absolutely. It's Veggie Protein 101. It tells you all the ways that you can find plant-based proteins.
Yeah.
And it literally is a ton. There are so many sources. Like, you do find some protein in mushrooms or in greens, but not very much. But when you combine that, when you're thoughtful about that and combine a little bit of quinoa and then some nuts, and then maybe you grind up and use chickpea flour as a binder instead of regular flour, all of those places are adding protein. And really the main source is we need about 4 ounces of protein in a day.
Yeah.
So you can get that pretty easily.
Yeah. There you go.
But you do have to think about it.
It would be the same way with I had a cousin who was a vegan. Is that, you know, how would you get your, you know, all your stuff then? Because you're not getting any milk or anything from an animal.
Yeah, you would omit any of the eggs or the dairy. But then the same beans and nuts and any of the wheat, gluten, or soy, those are all fantastic protein-rich sources for people who are vegan. Yeah. And there's vegan recipes in the cookbook, too.
Yeah,
there's a ton of vegan recipes.
So there you go, Samantha. Thank you so much for calling. Carly in Cumberland up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say to Damaris, I watched your show on Food Network Star all the way through until you won. So that was pretty exciting to hear you on WPR. Yay! and I wanted to share a recipe. I have been vegan for about 6 months now, and the rest of my family eats lots of animal products and meat products. And I made them a smoked salmon vegetarian style for them on a little cracker with some cream cheese and capers. And you actually salt bake carrots and then slice them super thinly. Yep, and then you marinate them in some, liquid smoke and olive oil and stuff. So I thought I would share.
Oh!
Can I ask you a question about that? So I've been trying to perfect my vegan lox.
Yeah.
Have you worked with kelp in it at all? Because the only thing I'm missing is that little bit of, what did you find?
All I did was I took a nori sheet that, you know, you make sushi with. I chopped it up and put it into my pesto mortar, ground that up really good, and then just added that in with some other seasonings, just like salt and pepper. You can add a little bit different seasonings for like a barbecue flavor, or like if you wanted to add like smoked paprika, that might be good. But I just did the nori sheet, some salt and pepper, soy sauce, liquid aminos, or... and then some liquid smoke and olive oil. So,
and isn't it so fun? The first time I had the like carrot lox, it was absolutely life changing for me because the texture is there, the fattiness is there. You get the sweetness of salmon. It's salty. When you eat it, when you finish though, you feel great. Like my body feels great after eating it, which is not always the case after I eat a ton of cream cheese.
Oh, Carly, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Well, let's go to Lynn in Coloma next. Hi, Lynn.
Hi there. I'm learning so much because I'm older, but my daughters and their husbands do at least two meals a week that are vegetarian, and they have young children. And I think I'm going to try to get this for them for Christmas and for myself as well. I was wondering, have you come up with a recipe that's vegetarian for bourbon brine chicken?
Absolutely. You know that's going to be in there.
It has to be because that's the best chicken at the lake in the world.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, I love fried chicken, especially a bourbon brine fried chicken. And so I am actually creating, in the cookbook, you get that recipe for bourbon brine fried chicken. But then on the next page, there's the recipe for vegetarian fried chicken that uses bourbon in the, I'm using wheat gluten. So it uses the bourbon inside of the it's almost like a dough that becomes the chicken. And so you're getting all of the same smokiness, all that flavor. And you fry it up, and it is delicious served on a biscuit.
Oh, bless you for doing this, because I thought, what if I can't make my bourbon brine chicken from Damaris? We'll perish.
You can. I mean, and the truth is, like, side by side at the table, they look great. So you can still make the fried chicken that you're used to making and the vegetarian fried chicken. You dredge them up and you fry them, you know, you do the vegetarian first and then you do the regular fried chicken, and then they can both be on the table, but it doesn't look like to kids and to everyone eating, it doesn't look like this different meal. It still looks like everyone's having the bourbon brine chicken, and it just unites us all in this really nice way where it doesn't have to be like, this is what you do, this is what I do, but allows people to be a little bit more open to eating vegetarian a couple times a week. You know, it doesn't have to be, I only eat vegetarian food. It can be, I'm going to give it a try. Let's see what this is all about.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate the call. You can join in too, by the way. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. And let's see. Let's go to emails for a second here. Monica emailed to say her daughter eats only plant-based foods, no eggs or dairy. Would she have to modify many of the vegetarian recipes in your book to make them vegan?
So many of the recipes are already modified in the book. If you look at them at the very... So the way that the book starts is that everything starts out as vegetarian, and then it can be either made carnivore or many times made plant-based. And so those are at the bottom, and it'll say, replace the butter with coconut oil. And then this is a vegan recipe. The ones that are not, that I didn't change, are just ones that are super, super cheesy. So scalloped potatoes and ham. I didn't make a vegetarian, or I didn't make a vegan option for the scalloped potatoes and ham-ish. But you could easily substitute the cheese that's in there with Daiya cheese or the chow cheese, and then that would also be, it would also be vegan. But I tried very hard to go through and all of the places where it made sense and made sense to make it plant-based, there are plant-based options in there.
You know, one of the recipes that caught my eye, I like baked beans. You know, I'm a baked bean fan, and that blackberry baked bean recipe sounded really good to me. I thought, blackberries.
So the thing about that, we used to have baked beans, and we would have a little bit of pork in there. But honestly, by the time you put all the, like, brown sugar or molasses or whatever else, there's, like, sweet, delicious things, the ham was, like, gone. The bacon was gone. It's not present. And so what I tried to do in all of the side dishes, all the side dishes almost are vegan even, because once you start taking out in the South, once you start taking the pork out, and replacing it with either miso paste, or you replace it with a little bit of liquid smoke and some coconut oil, or you toast up some nuts and soak them in bourbon, and now those become kind of like a bacon bit. Those things, once that's gone, you don't miss that. You are not missing that bacon anymore. Well, so you end up with side dishes that are, I think, really exciting, too.
And I liked your comment. I was talking side dishes. You have, probably most of the people listening to the show had some green bean casserole at Thanksgiving time, but you say you like to make it more in the summertime.
100%. So we get green beans, like the most delicious little green beans in the summer, you know, when the harvest is fresh. So growing up, we had green bean casserole that had frozen green beans in it, which is okay. But a fresh green bean is way more delicious. And so I make a lot of green bean casserole in the middle of summer. I put rice in there.
Yeah, I love that.
I put a little bit of nuts in there so that you end up with something that has, like, complete proteins, but a little bit of bread and a glass of wine. I'm telling you, in the middle of summer, it's unbelievable.
It's not really
good to me.
It's
like a 4th of July.
And I never thought about that. You know, you always associate it with Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, but
you know, the holidays.
That's not when... You know, I think that people did it, and you turned it into a casserole. If you think about the tradition of Southern cooking, people canned things, people put things up. And so when you put something up or when you've canned a green bean, you're going to have to add some stuff to it to make it dazzle again. And that's why you see it in casserole form, is because just canned green beans, bless them, they have lost a little bit of their delight. So throw on a cheesy Mornay sauce, maybe some crunchy onions on the top, and they're magical again. And so that's what in so much of the cooking and so much of doing this cookbook, it really allowed me to kind of dig back in and understand better the history of Southern cooking and why the foods that we make are important and why we make them, and then kind of try and understand how that's changed. Like, people used to not have refrigeration, and now we do. But the foods that we've been making come back from a time when we didn't have all of the advances that we have now.
Yeah. You know, a minute ago you mentioned the 4th of July, and that reminded me of your deviled eggs. Because I love deviled eggs, and you have a recipe that involves blue cheese, which I also love.
Oh, my gosh. So For me, deviled eggs. When I grew up, I had a friend whose mother, every single week, she had deviled eggs in the refrigerator. Like, if you open the refrigerator, they always had deviled eggs, which I thought seemed very fancy. Because we only ever had deviled eggs at a party, like a picnic or a church gathering. You know, like, we just weren't tossing around the deviled eggs like it was gold. But I would go over to her house, and she would make a different type of deviled egg every week. And when we would be playing or we'd get hungry, we'd just pop a little deviled egg into our mouth. And so one time she made these super spicy deviled eggs that had blue cheese in them, and that was the inspiration for these deviled eggs.
Oh, I'm making those.
Everyone loves that, like, if you think about buffalo. So super hot sauce, a little bit of butter, and blue cheese all together on anything, even cardboard, tastes delicious.
So, and eggs, I don't know about your part of the world, but I think I paid $1.04 or something like that for a dozen extra large eggs. Mm-hmm. So it's really inexpensive.
They are. They're a fantastic source of protein, and you know, it's a nice one. The animal doesn't have to die to get that protein source. And so that's great. You know, like, that works really great for people who don't want to harm animals. If you move into, you know, I don't know, I think it's great. I think they're a fun and delicious and very, very versatile source of protein. And plus, they make deviled eggs, which are the best.
Yes, they are. If you ever go to a party and somebody brings a plate of deviled eggs, it's always the first thing to go. I swear.
They're portable and they're protein packed, and also they're not bad for you. And you just, like, you're popping them while you're having a little cocktail, and you feel great, I think. I have a friend who has very, very, so when you go to a party, do the deviled eggs sit out or do they sit in the refrigerator?
They sit out because they're gone right away.
Exactly. That's what I think. But I have a friend who always puts them in the refrigerator. We're like, they're not going to last long enough. And she's like, they have to be icy cold. Put them in the refrigerator. People can reach in and get their deviled egg if they want it.
Oh, man. Maura in Oshkosh has something for us. Maura, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. It's Laura.
Oh, Laura. Sorry.
It's not a problem. Hi. I am just calling because I want to say thank you so much for making this cookbook. My family is a little diverse. We have members who are diabetic, who are allergic to eggs, who cannot do dairy, and having brunch for Christmas is a bit of a challenge. You can imagine. And my husband and I are both vegetarians, so it's really a challenge.
Yay! Well, hopefully there are some tons of recipes in there that'll help you with that. Also, we've been doing a lot of play with how is your gluten? That's the one that always gets me for breakfast. Are people in your family gluten intolerant?
No, at least not so far.
Great. Woo! So I have made recently some cinnamon rolls that were a vegan cinnamon roll, but also a vegan savory cinnamon roll that I think are a really fun one. You could look into it. It just uses pizza dough. Just buy a store-bought pizza dough, rub it with some oil.
Can I use a sugar substitute in that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So you can do it with Splenda. I think it's delicious with Splenda.
Great.
That was what I was wondering about the bread, if there's too much, bread is
no. In fact, our staple when the family gets together is pizza with a variety of cheeseless, you know, Alfredo.
Exactly.
The number of pizzas because everybody at least can have their own kind, but we get a little tired of that.
Yeah.
And there's some really fun things you can do now with first of all, there are the world of vegan cheeses, like dairy-free cheeses, is very changed. Field Roast makes chow, which is, it's delicious. It really melts beautifully, so it changes what pizza looks like. But then also there's a lot of fun things you can do by soaking cashews and blending them. Then you can either make that sweet or savory, and it becomes almost like a cream cheese or a cheese base.
Okay.
You can take the cashews soaked in a little bit of water, or tea is delicious to do it too, to add a little bit more flavor. And then you put in a little Splenda in that and blend it, and you get a sweet cream cheese.
Well,
and then you can do it savory, and you get almost like an Alfredo.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then my other question quickly is, I love chicken, and that is the only thing I've really regretted turning vegetarian. Is what would your recommendation be for the best chicken substitute? Have you found one that really works?
So I make my chicken, honestly. Like, I will use some of the store-bought chickens. Like, Corn has a great one. Corn, you know, the brand Q-U-O-R-N.
Mm-hmm.
They have a nice chicken. Then there's also, like, some other, the Beyond Meat does a chicken strip. Morningstar has chicken strips. And those are all fine if you're putting them into something. So if you're making a vegetarian chicken Alfredo, those will work. But when I want fried chicken, I make the patty myself, and I use wheat gluten. And then I add the main thing was, anytime I'm using wheat gluten, I'm always missing the fat inside of it. So I've started adding tahini to it. So ground up sesame seeds, so that you're getting a richness and a fattiness inside of the cutlet itself. And I tell you, it's a game changer for me. It just, you know, you can season it however you want, and then you are ending up with fried chicken again, or baked chicken, that I think is really fun.
And that's in your book as well.
It is in the book.
Perfect. I will be heading to the bookstore. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. There's so many good-looking recipes in your book, and we've barely touched on them. The dumpling stew looked really good to me.
I'm making that one this week for a Christmas party.
Oh, you are?
Oh. Absolutely.
I tell you, the photos in the book, too. I love the photos. Photos always enhance a cookbook for me. Great food photos.
So. Yeah, they. I think I try to keep them as non-frilly as possible. It was really important just that you see all the forks in the book. All those forks are from my wedding. The plates and stuff. When we got married, we bought mismatched china for everybody, and now we still have it. And we asked everybody to bring a fork to eat with, and then we collect them at the end, and those are the forks that we use every day. But those little touches, like there are platters that we got when we got married. It's really just the whole book is a celebration of our love story and showing that, like, when you love somebody, it doesn't mean that you give up things. It just means that you adapt and become more interesting. And that's the greatest part about loving a vegetarian, is that I'm more interesting now. My food is more interesting, honestly. Like, it's so exciting. And so I wanted to really highlight that in the pictures and in the props and in everything about the book.
Well, you've put together a wonderful book, Damaris. I really enjoyed talking with you today. I hope we have a chance to visit again. It was fun.
I would love that.
Thank you again. Damaris Phillips is the author of Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy, Down Home Classics for Vegetarian, and then in parentheses, and the Meat Eaters Who Love Them. And several comments from folks. Patrick on Facebook says, not a vegetarian, but eating a lot less meat because he married a vegetarian. Among other things, he enjoys the veggie meals because they're so much cheaper. they can be much less expensive to put together. But you're going to enjoy looking through her book and trying her recipes. I have several in mind that I'm going to be trying myself. And along with the dinner, you have wine sometimes to go along with the dinner. Coming up next, we are going to be talking about wine for the holiday table with Rob Lewis. That next, here on the Ideas Network.